mentioned in the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at words that the Bible uses to describe us, and I came up with at least 20 different words that describe our work, our relationship to one another, or our relationship to God. And so it seemed logical to me to kind of go through the New Testament, look at words that describe us as a group or as a congregation, or words the Bible uses to describe the church. And there's different names, obviously, and like I say, they're not always proper nouns that we would use on a sign, but they, like I say, these words describe our work as a congregation, some of us, our relationship to God, such as the flock, and other things. It's interesting that about names, it seemed like in the last couple decades, churches and groups and religious groups have been changing names. There's a couple of things that I picked up, and this one goes back to 2010. If you ever go to my office, there's a stack of just newspaper clippings. Some I didn't know where to file. They're just stacked. So this is one of them. This goes back to 2010. Title, Churches Selecting Names That Are Relevant. So he asked the question, how important is a name? Must mean something to many churches, since there seems to be an abundance of local churches, both startups and established congregations, that have chosen a new creative moniker. Not long ago, the oldest Southern Baptist Church in San Diego changed its name from the First Southern Baptist Church of San Diego to the Fellowship of San Diego. This was mainly to reposition the church in a community that has dramatically changed. The pastor wanted to send a message that they were not the, quote, old church that they used to be. I guess something was wrong with being old. And in the last year, two Assembly of God churches changed their names as well. Christian Life Assembly in Poway becoming The Connection. And Canyon View Christian Fellowship in Terracina becoming New Break Church. Both churches were well established, followed the lead of the La Mesa Assembly of God, which changed its name to Cross Point Life Church several years ago. And the ranks of non-denominational churches are changing as well. In 2009, Palomar Christian Church in San Marcos adopted the Oaks Christian Church. And Metro Church in San Diego became Oak Park Church. Both had new pastors who felt it was a good time for a name change. There are numerous other examples, but having a unique modern name seems to be the ticket. So the article continues. Here are some local church names in a popular denomination. Now see if you can guess the denomination. Body of Christ, Catalyst Church, Church on the Beach. I like that. We have one even here in Imperial Beach. I see it advertised in Eagle Times, Church at the Beach. Cloudbreak Church, Cross Church, Elevate Church, Generation Church, New Assurance, New Seasons Church, Reach for the Sun Christian Fellowship, S-O-N, Reach for the Sun. River of Life Church, 7 San Diego. Just 7 San Diego. I guess it must be something of that number 7 that they thought was biblical. The Bridge, the Chapel, and the Well. Some of these are new churches and others are renames. Have you guessed the denomination? It's Southern Baptist. The Calvary Chapel brand in San Diego has done well with alternative names, beginning with Mike McIntosh's Horizon Christian Fellowship some 3 dozen years past. That was a big thing, 3 dozen, or a couple, 30 years ago. Several other mega churches have spawned off that, including Maranatha Christian Fellowship, Journey Community Church, that's a big one. It's in La Mesa, off Freeway 8. And occupy at least 2 city blocks in buildings and parking area. classroom journey. New Venture Christian Fellowship and the Rock Church. The Rock Church, started in 2000 by Miles McPherson, is San Diego's largest church with 12,000 people attending the five Sunday morning services in Point Loma. 12,000. Or this was in 2010. The Movement, it's a name, a non-denominational church in San Marcos, has had strong growth and in fact planted several other church nearby churches called The Vessel, The Bridge Carlsbad, The Roots Church, and The Warehouse. The author continues, one of the advantages of having a unique name is if the web domain is available. Says, that's a really big thing now, said Mike Quinn of New Break Church. If you're going to change your name, you need to have that domain too. The reason, Mike Quinn from New Break Church, says the reason we finally decided to change our name was multifaceted, Quinn added. Canyon View Christian Fellowship was the name we chose when we planted the church in 1994. Fell in love with that name over the years. Problem was that we ultimately bought a mall in Tierra Santa with no canyon view. New people would often ask me about this, wondering where the canyon was. We knew that one day we needed to change the name to do something more intuitive that would actually say something about who we were as a church and what we were about. When we planned our first multi-site in 2007, the name truly stopped working. 2009, we planted another place in Santee, and then in El Cajon and Pacific Beach, another in Ocean Beach. So then came the task of choosing. We ultimately decided to adopt the name that our college ministry had historically chosen, and New Break Church became our new name. It flows out of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It quotes the verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, end quote. The name is simple, yet speaks to who we are and what we are all about. And that is helping people and communities truly be impacted by the love of Jesus Christ. New Break Church. It should have been New Creation, if you're going to use that verse. But New Creation's already been taken. There's already a group out there called New Creation. Bob Maddox is the founding pastor of Christian Life Assembly in Poway, where he served as senior pastor since 1988. On Easter 2009, the church was renamed The Connection, an effort to better connect with the surrounding community. Today, we are called The Connection, a place where seekers can connect to God, others, and destiny, their webpage states. Then the last one, Mike Carlisle of Vision San Diego has insight into the Southern Baptist church names. He says, I've noticed that on the West Coast, that's us, people are non-institutional. They often look at a denominational church as dry, exclusive, unfriendly, etc. Says, I think the trend will continue and names will be chosen that reflect a way to connect with people. Brand names no longer have an appeal for many, except as old, institutional, without personal meaning. He's saying that's their perception. Says, I've noticed a trend away from the community tag now. So that used to be the thing. It used to be everything was community church, community. So now they're moving away from that name. And now to more creative names like the River, Flood, Rock Church, Village, Cloudbreak, Daybreak, etc. Ask a question, does Carlisle see any biblical significance in the selection or importance of a name? Good question. Do you see any biblical significance in the name that you choose? He said, the only significance is where Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, I am all things to all people, that by all means I may save some. So he uses that verse for the biblical rationale for name changes. Says, I think it is simply an attempt to be relevant. So the last line is, say, that's another good church name, Relevant Church. But it's likely to be claimed by someone already. Relevant Church. Interesting. We have name changes even in our community here. You know, the church down here on 9th and Calla. It was Assembly of God until last year, maybe 2 years ago. And now it's South Coast Church. Bays. Jim Bays, longtime preacher here in the South Bay, was a Baptist preacher here in the city of Vero Beach. They bought property across the freeway up on the hill, and so now it becomes Ocean View Church instead of the Baptist Church.
That was their breakaway from the SBC convention, though.
From the Baptist convention, Southern Baptist. You have Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah preaches for a long, long time. And that used to be Scott Memorial Baptist Church. David Jeremiah, the preacher, his brother, preached for the College Avenue Baptist Church for many, many years. We even in our own ranks, years ago, there was a group that moved up to North County, and I think, was it just North Hills Church?
When Kevin
Witham. What was the name of it?
Northern Hills
Church. Northern Hills Church that they gave that name for. Yeah. So we're not, even among our brethren, some are going that direction. The next one, I may not get to my notes. This is just interesting. What's in a name? This is from San Diego Union, Union Tribune. Goes back to the 2002. What's in a name? Congregations see membership, and I forgot the other. And this was a writer from Philadelphia. It was the AP Press, Associated Press article. So she said, at a time when many experts say believers shop for congregations the way they hunt for the perfect pair of shoes, the name of a church or synagogue may be more important than ever. Just the name. So if you're looking for a synagogue committed to social action, Zedek V'Shalom, which is Hebrew for justice and peace. We'll go there. Want a church for people trying to surmount problems, no matter how severe? The Church of the Overcomer may be just the place. Newer congregations are making an effort to transcend the traditionalism of a moniker reflecting only a savior, saint, or denomination, experts say. They want to transcend that traditionalism. Names are now designed to convey a mission, a theme, or of ministry that explains and invites. Every congregation is pretty much on its own, trying to sell into a skeptical marketplace. This public relations is increasingly important for churches trying to distinguish themselves from other churches, Kenneth Ross says of the Presbyterian Historical Society. Churches are trying to name themselves so that a short, epigrammatic way they can telegraph what they're about. All these names, those names really telegraph what you're about. Church of Christ does to me. That telegraphs what we're about.
Amen.
Historically, a church would have the name Woodland Baptist Church because Woodland designates the location, Baptist, because it's the denomination, said Harold Dean, professor at the Center for Urban Theological Studies in Philadelphia. But he says, now a church is more likely to be called Word of Life or Hope of Glory in an effort to communicate a spirit. And then Trulier said, who was also the pastor of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Twin Oaks, Pennsylvania, says there are Christian congregations called Church of Broken Pieces, Vision of Love, Fire Baptized Inc., Mighty Warriors for Christ. There are synagogues such as B'nai K'sheh, a New Jersey congregation, congregation whose name translates Children of the Rainbow, but I wouldn't know that because I don't speak Hebrew. Pastor Lewis's 5-year-old Southern Philadelphia congregation is called Vessels of Honor Church. He said, we want our bodies to be vessels of integrity, caring and honor that Jesus would be pleased with, the pastor said. The increasing number of descriptive names are a reflection of more than one important cultural shift, the experts said. They're not only an indication of a growing consumer-oriented approach to religious life, but also a byproduct of a decreasing loyalty to denominations. Decreasing loyalty. People are not necessarily coming because they are Baptist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian. They're coming because something has struck a chord in them, said this particular professor. As churchgoers consider denomination less, churches may do the same by finding names that downplay affiliation and tradition but emphasize a vision. So they want to downplay your tradition. That phenomenon reflects a cutting of ties that goes back to the Old Testament, said this particular man, a professor at the University of Chicago's Divinity School. How one is bound to a community through the ages is extremely important in much of Christian and Jewish tradition. That tie is manifested in the name. Traditionally, here's the closing paragraph. Traditionally, congregations have been named for saints, biblical events, or locations, and important people in the denomination. Experts say, so your church name is based upon maybe a saint or a Bible event, you know, like Bethel Baptist Church. They really want to key on that event that took place at Bethel in the Bible. Or a location, we are 10th Street Church of Christ. Reason why we're not Imperial Beach Church of Christ, because years ago there was another congregation of Churches of Christ over on Imperial Beach Boulevard. And then they dwindled down, and so they closed their doors and sold the building. But they already had that corporate name already in paper, so it wasn't available when 10th Street congregation started. So we cannot call, we didn't, couldn't incorporate as Imperial Beach Church of Christ. We had to do it through our location here, 10th Street Church of Christ. So congregation has been named for saints, Bible events, locations, important people. Experts say, interesting. In the Roman Catholic Church, there are rules. Possible names include references to the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, a mystery of his life, such as the resurrection, or saints, said Monsignor Palmieri, Chancellor of the Philadelphia Archdiocese. A church is a sacred edifice. And the name must reflect that, he said. Remember, I just went through 4 weeks of the church is not the building. He said, and this archbishop continued, they can't just make something up, though some have tried. Palmieri said, you can't call a church Our Lady of the Delaware. Why not?
Because he's not a saint.
You've already called it all the everything else after a saint or a whatever. So, all right, so it's already. Let me just kind of summarize. Let me just pick this up a little bit for next week. But in the word sect, like I say, I have almost 15 or 16 New Testament names that the Bible uses to describe us as a group. Now, I didn't say give us a title. I said that describe us, our work, our relationship to God, such as body. We are called members. We are called the flock. That's not an official name, a proper noun that describes our relationship. So number one is sect, the Bible says, we desire to, concerning Paul, we desire to hear of you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. Ooh, persecution against the church. But they called it a sect. You know, and by definition, it's a party in religion. It's differing in belief from the main party if you're a sect. This is, by the way, these definitions are from W.E. Vine. who has the dictionary out, the New Testament, or New Testament dictionary of Greek words. So I look up the word sect in this dictionary. It's a small group that has broken away from an established church. No, that's not us. It's not the church. Any group of people having a common leadership, set of opinions, philosophical doctrine, or political principles. You're a sect. Faction. Sectarian. So there were sects among the Jews in Jesus' time. Did I put those in the notes? No, I didn't. But there were the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots, Nazarites, Herodians, lawyers. So among the Jews, there were sects or factions or sectarianism among that Jewish group. We don't identify ourselves as a sect or denomination or part of religion in general. And so this word sect is not an official or authorized name for the church, but rather it's just a term that someone else used to describe us in a derogatory way. Oh, you're a sect. No. Number two, in Acts chapter 9, verse 2, and I will hurry along here. They desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. In other words, Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was a persecutor of the church, of the Christians. And so he wanted to get letters from the authorities to go gather up Christians and put them in prison. So he wanted the letters, and it says that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So here's a word that describes the early church as this way. And so I put by definition, if you say, what way or persuasion are you? Means it's for custom, manners, or a way of life, a method of salvation or doctrine of the gospel. It's a course of conduct. It's a pathway of thinking, but it's not a proper noun and not a word, but it's rather a word to describe our lifestyle. We are of the way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. So if the Bible describes us as the way, of that way, it means that we are of that persuasion that followed Jesus. So that was the word that's used. In Acts 19, verse 9, but when some were hardened, believed not, spake evil of that way. Ooh, in other words, and they did it before multitudes. He departed from them, withdrew, took the disciples, and he disputed daily in the school of Tyrannus. It's interesting, a verse I didn't put in your notes, but Matthew 22, verse 16. It says, meaning the Pharisees, they sent out unto him, Jesus, so the Pharisees sent their own disciples out to Jesus, with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teach the way of God in truth. The way. So that's a word that we don't think of very often to describe us, but we are of that way, the way of God in truth. Not a proper name. Number three, the last one I'm going to use tonight. Praising, you're familiar with this one, Acts 2, verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the word church, ekklesia, in the Greek, means the called out or the assembly. So when you preach that gospel message, you call people out to a particular persuasion, a way of life, a way of thinking and belief. In Acts 2, verse 39, Peter said, for the promises to you, to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we proclaim that gospel message. Those who respond to it are the church. We used all those words in the last month. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think of the church, even as individuals or as a group, we are individually and as a group, the people that are called out into a way of thinking, a biblical way of thinking and living. So that's what that word church means. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. So we behave differently than the world does. I just put by just an added note, the church is not the building. Jesus said, I'll build my church, but he didn't build a singular building that a world of people travel to. We don't have to make a pilgrimage to a physical structure that Jesus built. In Acts 8, verse 1, that time there arose a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So the persecution against the church. What, was the persecution against the building? They throw stones at the building? They graffiti the walls? What do you mean? You persecuted the church. It says, as for Saul in verse 3, he made havoc of the church. He entered every house, dragging men and women, and committed them to prison. The church are the people. We mentioned that in the last month. That's us. Acts 14, verse 27. When they were come, they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them. So they talked to Paul, they talked to the people, to the brethren, to the Christians who had gathered together. Paul said, I'm in town. Come and see me. Let's talk and let's meet together. So they didn't gather bricks and stones. No, he gathered the people, the church. He loved the people. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus did not give himself up for brick and mortar or carpet and pews. Jesus died for people, for you and for me. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, wives, Christ and the church. People, 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 you and me. So, all right, so again, we'll continue this next week, Lord willing. The names, unless I have about 16 at least right now, different names for us as a group. All right, gotta hurry through that. I just wanted to read those two articles. It's kind of interesting that just the abundance of names that are out there, and I didn't mention all of them. There's a congregation where we live over near L Street and 805. It's just named after the street that it's on. It just says Paseo del Rey Church. I don't know what they're about. Paseo del Rey and J Street. Just Paseo del Rey Church. That's the name of the street.
It happens to be coincidental.
Coincidental, that's right. If they're on a corner, if the building was facing the other way, it'd be J Street Church. There's another one down on 805 Freeway and Bonita Road called Spectrum Church. Spectrum. Oh. So they just, when you drive around, yeah, Dorby?
When you're up the road, you went up there, you won it.
Lots, a lot of names out there. All right, so this topic will continue next week. We'll get the Bible names in. All right, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, as we always do, song of invitation. It's your time to make prayer requests. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can just say, Brian, would you please pray for me, and I can announce it, or you can see Jim, and you can put it in the bulletin, or you just fill out a card, a prayer request card, and we can announce that and add it to our prayerfully remembered list. But there may be one here that's, even if has not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that also. And you can be any time, Sunday afternoon, Monday through Saturday, any time. You just make that request. We can gather down here at the building and have a baptism. So that's always the invitation. So we sing this song, if that's on your mind, if that's your resolve right now, this evening, to reflect on that. And if you need to respond in a public way, let's do so while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and sing the song of Genesis.